This is JFM Podcast.
Community relations from the regular.
It is time for us to unite and move the step forward
to the absurd.
The seven president has sent prayers to your mailbox.
News headlines get us talking. For every story that makes the headlines, you need experts and analysts.
The complaint basically is they'll say motivation. I mean, the pay
is
not good.
Yeah, motivation and even
the moral, and then we don't produce, we consume. You see, the social investment program was almost like a charity funding. Did it reach the poorest of the poor? And in what form? You borrowed and dashed people money. Dashed.
Every weekday from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m., join Ponsa Fanab and Gilbert Joseph on Nigeria at Sunset as they dissect trending political and social issues, bringing light to darkness and voices to silence.
Because as I am now, I'm a very confused man. Because whether to go to left or go to right.
Hello there, very good evening to you, and welcome to the program Nigeria at Sunset on J101.9 here in Jos. My name is Ponsak Fanab. It's a beautiful Wednesday evening, 24th of January 2024. Gilbert, good evening, and I know that it has been really a tough day for all of us in Plateau, and for, I think, any human being that has conscience and feels pain if his kind has been inhumanly butchered and killed for no just cause.
Very true. Yeah. There is no better way to describe what's happening, Ponsak. And for those of us who get even behind this incident and you have to report it, you know how tough it is. It's more like you bearing two burdens or wearing two caps, as it were. You know, you have to deal with the pains, you know, that a human being or human beings like you have had to face the things they're facing. And you also have to deal with the fact that you have to report it. So there's never an experience I've had in the course of all of these things. Like today, I was with somebody who literally, you know, recognized I was absent-minded because I didn't know whether, you know, to do the job of bringing these things to the fore or even having a conversation that we're expected to have. So it was quite tough. It was quite difficult. And it's the reason why, in fact, I had to just be in a somber mood before, you know, we began this show. And unlike how we would usually have done the chit chats that greet, you know, our preparations and all that, so we do hope that speaking about hope makes one to sound spiritual, but I really don't know how to address it. But all we're believing is there should be an end in sight about all of these events.
Well, it's very, very tough. I mean, Gilbert, our hearts and thoughts are together with the people in Mangu. But all that I can say is this is a gimmick. This is a gimmick, and the gimmick is a gimmick taken too far. I can't imagine people of Mangu that have been very, very accommodating, very peace loving, and Muslim Christians. Traditional worshippers, all of a sudden, you know, they start burning churches. I mean, there's a dangerous idea in that society that need to be purged. There's dangerous, you know, ideas. You can't tell me that overnight, you know, these things, you know, just start happening in the way and manner that they happen. Very, very unfortunate. Well, this evening, first we have program will be in two parts. The first part we're going to talk about sports and Governor Mutfang's commitment to sport development during the Thanksgiving service. He has made some really assuring remarks that he's going to see to it that the Zaro Stadium, you know, has been completed. And of course, we know how committed he is to sports development, in particular, I would say football, because football is very universal. To discuss this with us, we have Mr. Abdul Karim Ahmad Yaro. Good evening. Thank you very much for coming.
Good evening, Mr. Ponsak, Gilbert, and our listeners. Good evening.
Yeah. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
I'll start with, you are in the sport industry. You've been here for many years. Talk to us about What are some of the things that you are seeing, you know, especially with the disposition of Governor Mutfang when it comes to sports developments on the plateau?
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Ponsak. First of all, let me clear the air. I'm not into the sport industry.
Okay.
I'm only a fan and I've been an active participant in the field.
Yeah, so you're a sports...
Forward my condolences to our people in the plateau, the peace-loving people, especially people in Mangu, over the recent incident that happened. And my prayers goes to the governor and to the peace-loving Plateaunians. May God fortify and strengthen our security personnel to fetch these perpetrators wherever they are hiding, and the governor to have the wisdom to continue where he was heading to. May God Almighty bless us with peace on the plateau.
Amen. Thank you.
Our peace-loving governor, Barrister Caleb Menasse Mufwan, has been a supporter of football, and also he has a passion for sport. And in his 100 days, what he celebrated in office, among his first priority projects, the renovation of stadium was one of them. And we can see it has been renovated to a position that the dressing room was well equipped.
Fencing, which stadium? Is it the Rangpam? Ozaria Road Stadium?
Ozaria Road Stadium.
Okay.
And also we can see in his appointment, the recent ones and the ones that were in the past, like we from the youth cadre, most especially where I come from, we can see he gave us a commissioner of youth, somebody from just 31 years, person of Bashir.
I think it's 36.
Okay, 36. Yeah, which 36, is an encouragement, something we've never witnessed on the plateau, a youthful... full of energy, vigor, and youthful exuberance. And we can see his appointment, the director of sport, Professor Gunen, and we can see his appointment, like the GM Plateau United, Mighty Jet, all his appointees on the sport field, you can see their track record and antecedents. This is to show that Plateau is now rejuvenating to what it was before, home of peace and tourism, which has been a home for many people. People in Nigeria used to come to Plateau, and we can see how the troop that has been before.
Do you think that with this, you know, the good old days will be revived, you know, in Plateau, especially because we had, like you rightly said, we have the likes of Sambo Choji, the later Justice Christopher, Mikel Obi, you know, all of these great people. With the region of, I would say, refurbishment of some of these sporting facilities, are we anticipating another, you know, global superstars coming out from the plateau, courtesy of the infrastructural development and drive of Governor Mutfang?
Hopefully, and we have seen that the narrative is changing. Plateau has been blessed with many players of the past. And as I can attest to that, even in his appointment, he was able to bring players both in abroad and the ones in Nigeria to bear, like the likes of Mikel Obi and Ahmed Musa, to come and bring a coloration of what they had here on the plateau. And we can see now that the football, especially I speak more on the football side, where we can see the youth team of Plateau United and Mighty Jet, where players are being promoted from the junior cadet to the stage, where scouts used to come from abroad to pick talent from the plateau. And we can see our indigenous coaches like Mbas Mangut and Patrick Mancha, the way they are trying to transform the image of the club, where you see players, even in the female team, like especially the Queens.
Are you talking about Plateau United now? Or
Plateau,
like,
United, I'm, you asked me in general.
Okay,
I'm
okay,
giving
okay.
you the brief.
Yeah. Please go ahead, general.
So, and if you happen, Mr. Ponsak, to go to stadium these days, we are witnessing something that has never happened, or that has happened maybe for the past 20-something years ago, where you can see the audience, the population. People now are trooping from every nook and crannies to come and watch football. Football happens to be a unifying factor. Like Plateau happened to be a heterogeneous environment, people from different communities, tribes, even in Nigeria. Now you can go to stadium and watch football with your family without being afraid maybe of tear gassing or something that will happen. So the peaceful atmosphere and the reduction of the price of the gate fee has attracted many people.
How much is the gate fee?
The gate fee is just 100 naira.
Okay, well, interesting.
Before you go to stadium and see like 2,000 or 3,000 people, but now the stadium used to be full to brim. See people even outside. The style of play has been really effective.
okay.
and the performances of the management team.
Okay. I mean, there's something I heard peddled by, you know, someone that I don't think that what he has done in the past, he kind of likes, you know, a character to say that, but saying, accusing the GM of Plateau United, you know, personally, I don't watch sport, but Gilbert, you know, is a big sport person, you know. And when I heard, you know, some of the allegation against the good person of the coach, that is Habila Mutla, it gave me, you know, cause to worry.
The general manager.
General manager that he wants to, he initially wanted to switch loyalty. And this is coming from, I mean, the person who is peddling this is someone that assaulted one of our colleagues, the present general manager of Mighty Jet. What do you have to say about, should we take that kind of statement seriously, or should we just throw it, you know, out in the trash and not dignified with their good attention? What are your thoughts?
Mr. Ponsak, I really appreciate this question. Happened to be, I was aware of the issue last 3 to 4 days. And being a fan of sport and also a PDP faithful, it really touches me and worried. And I was part of the team to call 4 of the people that were circulating the information.
Oh, there were even 4?
Yeah, it was even beyond that. That's why I appreciate this. I said I will use this medium to maybe communicate with my younger ones, especially the social media generation. I don't know what it will fetch you to malign or smear the image of someone. We call them trying to find proofs, maybe either audio, video, or maybe a physical proof to verify that. It started like a rumor, but you never know where it grows. But when I heard it at first, I was worried, but I never knew you would ask me this question, but I was surprised, and I'm happy to attest and also to encourage our younger ones, especially those in the social media. If you don't have a proof, especially the social media now that is not being censored, many people are worried about this statement, but I, as a person, I can attest to that the statement is not true.
So talk to us about some of the good things that the GM of Plateau United, you know, has been doing since he was appointed to that exalted office, so that we know his achievement and, you know, he's going to clear all the doubts that people will be maybe having, you know, because like you rightly said, it's just, you know, an employ to malign his good name and to, in an attempt to rubbish his great reputation.
Okay, thank you. As I said, I'm just a fan, but I've been following Plateau United for the past 22 years. And I will only say minimal of what I know, what I can say.
Of course, yeah.
Far.
Yeah.
The style of play in the Plateau United has really improved and really encouraged. And I can see from the attendance in the stadium, he was able to synergize between the management, the technical team, and the supporters club. You can see cordiality in their relationship as well as encouraging the supporters. And I was able to know where even one of my younger women happens to be one of them. He was able to invite scouters from abroad to come and pick 3 players from the junior academy.
Just this within?
Yeah. And right now, as I learned, 2 of our players, one is in Turkey and one is in Albania. So before, a Plateau United has been a home where we know there's history of borrowing either from other gubernatorial pockets or maybe bank or money lenders. But I learned since he's coming 5 months ago, Plateau United has not borrowed a penny from anywhere.
So there's been judicious management
like
of resources.
Yes, there's a prudent management which is translating like the appointments of our governor himself. Because all his appointees, you can see the governor has been known to be prudent and managing resources. So Habila, in a short while, Plateau United happens to be in the first 3 in the league table in the NPL. And
presently,
their only
League?
Differences is in number of goals, where they are having 2 away matches. So hopefully, if they are able to make it, they'll be in the first. So their style and their successes are record to that could be compared to maybe the likes of Doma United and maybe Rivers. And also, once you look at the style of play and the welfare package, as we can see some of the players and some of the management are appreciating, I can give him a kudos for that. So that's why I was very surprised when I heard this, and I was really worried.
Yeah, but who are those? Who are those, you know, that have been peddling this false news and about the GM of Plateau United? Would you like to mention their names? Because
yeah,
it has gone really far. We need to know their
really
names.
It has gone viral, and maybe
and
if
tell
you
them
go
that they are
the
liars.
Social media, you see a lot of names attached to that. But most of the ones that you can add meaning to it, the ones that emanate from the supporters club, the former supporters club. And now, if he has not been succeeding, or maybe if he has not been working, or maybe giving a track record, nothing like this will come. So I will use this very opportunity to maybe encourage him and other appointees. You should not be worried by your detractors. People can distract you. If you are not excelling, nobody will even say no to you. And he should keep up the good work that he's doing and others that are like him.
Okay. Would you encourage him to take any legal action against those individuals, especially because you have just said they are four in number, and clearly it means there are people that have been identified. You have even tried to, you know, give out their portfolios, some of the positions they held initially at the football club. Is that a part, or you think that being a man with big heart or large heart as it is, you wouldn't encourage him to take any legal action against them?
Yeah, Mr. Gilbert, thank you for that. I'm not legally inclined to comment on his behalf. This is something that has to do with his person.
No, as a fan, and that's
okay,
why I said, is this something you encourage?
If he's reflecting his actions like that of our governor, whom I know he has been a forgiving type, but it's good to call a spade. If someone erred or wronged you, call him into order. If he's willing to maybe say sorry, or maybe prove beyond reasonable doubt he's regretting his action, then maybe you can forgive him, because God is a forgiving one. But if they are not willing to do that, but as I can see that I said, I'm part of those that interview some of them, where we're able to find where the source of the information emanates.
Oh, you had a chat with them?
Yeah, I had a chat with them.
Okay. All right. So the last game they played away at Lafia against Lobi Stars, right?
Yeah.
Some questionable officiating were witnessed, and some of those officiating calls didn't go in the favor of Plateau United. And we have seen some of these things in time past. From a fan's point of view, what do you think? What are some of the interventions you'd want to see the general manager, you know, wield or strike?
Even with this question, before, as I said, I was angry when I had the information thinking that the Habila's issue was true. But when I had this issue of our away match, I became impressed by his performance. If it were before that something like this happened, this foul or bad officiating, and I know how our supporters will react. Like when he came in new, he was able to offset a loan to pay a penalty of an action that has been taking place by our supporters to right a wrong, which that has not been the scenario to address an issue like that. So, but he was able to protest that in a legal way, in a way that is nobody can ask the character or maybe the style of his approach. And Plateau United has not lose any home match.
Game, yes.
So, and that's really an encouragement, and hopefully we are going to see maybe much of things like that. But Nigerian League before has been, I'm sorry to use the word, has been corrupted by all ramification in all directions, but now we can see the reformation in all the Nigerian leagues. Not only here on the plateau, people are now is a step by step. So one cannot end that scandal just in a day.
All right. And finally, what are some of the areas, you know, aside the improvement of that Zaria Road facility, which we all know is very important, what are some of the things that you see the governor can intervene to? We know that just recently, you know, he gave a number of vehicles to that football club. Is that true?
Yeah.
You know, to aid their operations. But what other areas would you want to see as a football fan, as a football lover, that the governor injects more energy into?
Okay. There are so many areas, and since I know the peace-loving governor of Plateau, Barrister Caleb Mutwan, has a passion for sport, and we know the cosmopolitan nature of the city, and also our heterogeneous nature, does the Plateau a state that is blessed with 53 different tribes, different structures. Football happens to be a unifying factor. So I call, using this medium, to call on the state government to invest in sport, especially football. and to encourage our coaches, to encourage our managers, so that we have more of our younger ones now playing football in Europe, maybe the likes of Real Madrid, AC Milan, and the rest. And especially this generational shift of promoting our own talent from maybe the junior team and the main team to the senior team, and also bringing our indigenous veteran athletes, like our coaches that I exemplified before, to come and give what they have on the plateau. That's really encouraging, and that will go a long way in boosting the morale of the younger ones, so that they will not go and deviate maybe in the fields of drugs or other areas. So a sport is an industry in itself. Sport is a havoc in its own that can accommodate many people, and especially Plateau has been known in that regard. So the governor should concentrate more, and he's doing more, and we want him to do more, especially in the field of sport.
Yeah. Well, any word that you may be having for, especially in making sure that because, like you rightly observe, you know, this situation usually brings people down to hear that you're working hard, and some people are saying that you had wanted to switch loyalty. You know, it may be hurtful, and it may distract one from doing, you know, your job. What would you tell the GM of Plateau United, Mr. Habila Mudla, in making sure that he remains steadfast, is absolutely loyal to the government of Mutfwang, and of course to make sure that Plateau United, you know, returns to winning ways and the good old days?
Okay. I have known Habila only just of recent, and I met him twice.
One, oh, really?
Sport,
oh,
field. Great. Yeah. He was even afar being the GM, and I was a fan. Mm. Secondly, when this issue happened, I have never chat with him in person. So, but I'll use this very medium to call his attention. One, he shouldn't be distracted. Loyalty is a virtue. And I know that he has been with this government for long, even from campaigning side. When this issue happened, so many issues were being unveiled, even in the social media, like his relationship with the party since the time of Major Sati Mantu's election, and his loyalty that was not able to be distracted as a den, especially now that he has been recognized in the government. So I will now call him, this is a test. And a test, as a good Christian, I know he should define it in three dimensions. One, maybe for him to go and retract his steps if there is anything he does wrong, because I asked one of the people that perpetrated the message, what's your problem with him? He said he never smiled. I asked myself, what has smiling got to do with performance in football? So if it's someone like me, I can forgive, if because maybe you can malign me or identify me just because I'm not smiling. Some said that he prevented leakages in the way Plateau United has been managed before. They benefited from like a honorarium in every issue of salary. They were assigned in one position, some part is being given to them. Because he denied that, they tagged him as their enemy. So if all these things are true, he should call them. If it's something that can be amended maybe or touched, let him do that. And he shouldn't take this personally. That's why I said maybe it may, a challenge or a test may either identify you or define you. So if he takes it at a test, maybe retract his steps if there's anything he does wrong, for him to know that he is performing. If had it been he has no record, nobody will say anything onto him. So more grease to his elbow, and he should, if he performs more better than this, more complaints like this maybe might come.
You don't see, you know, someone or one of those individuals as someone eyeing his position. You don't see that, because, I mean, I just kept thinking as you were speaking as to what someone would benefit from peddling some of this information. Wrong.
Yeah, it may be, but that I cannot justify. And you know, for anything that is good, there are so many people that will come to envy. So the naysayers maybe should go and retract their steps.
All right. Well, thank you so much. We appreciate you for bringing light, you know, to the this very issue. And of course, there you have it. Thank you, Mr. Abdul Karim Ahmad Yaro. Thank you for the so much clarity that you brought, you know, on this issue. Because I remember saying that, you know, based on the investigation we're getting, but this has cleared the air and corrected, you know, the false narrative against the good person of the GM of Plateau United. Mr. Habila Mudla. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Well, dear listener, when we come back, the second part of the interview will continue. Stay here.
Every day, political stories fill our airways.
Morning, the national chairman of the police community relations.
From the regular,
it is time for us to unite and move the state forward.
To the absurd,
the Senate president has sent prayers to your mailbox.
News headlines get us talking. For every story that makes the headlines, you need experts and analysts.
The complaint basically is they will say motivation. I mean, the pay is not good.
Yeah, motivation and even
the moral, and then we don't produce, we consume. You see, the social investment program was almost like a charity funding. Did it reach the poorest of the poor? And in what form? You borrowed and dashed people money. Dashed.
Every weekday from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m., join Ponsa Fanab and Gilbert Joseph on Nigeria at Sunset as they dissect trending political and social issues, bringing light to darkness and voices to silence.
Because as I am now, I'm a very confused man. Because whether to go to left or go to right.
Glad you're still here. The program is Nigeria at Sunset on J101.9 here in Jos. Gilbert, I'll tell you a story.
Yeah.
Yesterday, my friend who is based in abroad came to the country, and yesterday we're having a chat with him. And we're talking about, you know, how societies are being built, you know. And he said that the country that he lives is heavy on taxation, you know, that... if you open your tap, you see water running. If you turn on the light, you see, you know, power you have. He said all of these things is citizens paying money so that the government can provide, you know, the services. And we started talking about insecurity in view of what is going on in Mango. And he told me that, you know, up to now in Nigeria, we're still having this national debate about state police. But he said the country that he's based in, local counties have their own police, and it's taxpayers that pay those
fund,
you know. And, you know, that conversation was really, really interesting. Now, there are two things that people don't understand, you know, how societies work. You have citizens' responsibility, and then you have government obligation. We're going to talk about IGR and taxation this evening to discuss this very, very important issue. We have the executive chairman of the Plateau State Internal Revenue Service, Mr. Jim Wires. Good evening. Thank you very much for coming, sir.
Yeah, good evening, Ponsat. Good evening, Gilbert. And good evening, Plateau State.
Yeah, well, it's good to have you, and thank you for honoring our invitation.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, well, let's go straight, you know, to the conversation, sir. On your resumption of office, what was the IGR situation of Plateau, and what is the current status of the IGR?
Okay. So thank you. So let me just start by sending my condolences to the entire state, particularly what is happening at Boko, Mungu. Our hearts are with them. So when, upon resumption of office, yes, I came in halfway through the year, which is 2023. So as at the time I came in, the tax revenue was around about... just short of 10 billion. So, but when we
that's per annum. So close to.
No, what they generated? They generated about 10
in 1 year.
Billion. No, in six. Let's say 7-8 months.
Oh, eight months. Okay.
Yeah. So, but then you see, in 2022, the total generation that we had as a state was about 15.9 billion, which I think we are the least in the whole of North Central, as it were. So, but then. thank God, His Excellency have given us his backing, and we are trying to do a lot of innovations, trying to automate a lot of processes, trying to block a lot of leakages that are happening within the system. So we grew, because when I came, the average tax was around 1.2, 1.1 billion in a month. So, and again, I think, of course, on January, they had a tax recovery, so they had about 4 billion. So without doing anything. So that explains why it was high to that amount. So when we came in, we tried to block all the leakages, that even taxes that were paid by the state government, let's say payee from executive, were paid to the state revenue board. So we grew it to about 1.7, sometimes it dropped back to about 1.5. Mm-hmm. But at December, we collected in taxes 2.5 billion. So that is
just in the month of December.
Just in the month of December, and that's the highest the state have ever collected in terms of taxes.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about your challenges, because every story has, you know, the success and challenges. What are the challenges you have encountered as the number one, I would say, Matthew, tax collector of Plateau, and what strategies have you adopted to overcome those challenges?
So you're calling me Zacchaeus. Anyway, so the major challenges, let me put it in two phases. So we have those that are internal and those that are external.
Okay.
So let me start from within. So you see, when I came on board, so we have a staff that demoralized, the staff that are divided against different kind of lines. So if I mean different kind of lines, ethnicity, divided even against party, you understand, divided even against gender to that level. So that's how bad it was. So, but however, we try to reorientate them, and we're trying to see how we are going to reposition the staff. Now, I'm not like the other ministries or agency of government where they complain that there are no tools. Fairly enough, there are tools. Like, let me say, the internet is there. The computers are there, though not adequate, so they are not enough. But then you could see the presence of facilities. Mm-hmm. But then we have the people that will mount the facilities, but of course, the facilities were not enough to even go around in the first place. Mm-hmm. So these are some of the impediments that we encounter. But however, when I came in, so I tried to see how we are going to even drive the process, because we are driving the process by automation. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to see how we are going to bring more computers, bring more facility, expand even the bandwidth. So the major problem that I discovered is that our internet is very weak, unlike where I'm coming from. So you see, like, just like today, for instance, we have a fiber network break somewhere around the Cooking headquarters. So that affects internet transactions, because we are not on the domain, we are not on internet. So we need to run completely on internet at any time. So we're trying to see how, because we're using, Globacom. So with Globacom, of course, the network is not too good. We're trying to see how we're going to use MTN. So they're giving us a very huge bill. So these are internal issues. So when we talk about the external issues, so now we are even faced with citizens that the economy situation is terribly bad, as it were.
Yeah.
So and the truth is, we cannot tax poverty. So like I said, you cannot tax somebody who has a nano business, you want to tax him. You are trying to kill him, his survival.
What's a nano business?
So let me give you an instance. A nano business is that woman that fries akara by the roadside.
Oh, okay.
So for her, she's doing survival, not generating revenue or income to herself. So you see, when you tax such a woman, you are not taxing poverty. You are not telling her, don't go out of the street. Mm. So these are some of the things that we try to widow out. So we have an economic situation that also affects us, which is completely external. Then again, we have a political tussle that happened between His Excellency and others in the court. So that affects even the citizens' morale to pay tax and other burdens. Then again, you see, even up to today, we still have that crisis in Mangu, Bokkos, and Barkin Ladi, and other local government. Let me give you an instance. In Bokkos, in Mangu alone, we used to go. We used to have trailers that move out of Mangu in every Friday market, ranging between 100 and 120. And some go to as far as Central African Republic.
Wow.
Now, for the period of this crisis, there were no such revenues that come in. And that's Mangu alone. And you have Bokkos, you have Barkin Ladi, and so many other things. So these are completely external. But thankfully, and thank God that the judgments are over, so business is back and governance is here. So we are begging on Plateau citizens that, yes, despite the challenges of the economy, we will see how we are going to make the economy better. And one of the things that we intend to do is that, yes, there are challenges. We have even monies that are coming from FARC cannot even support His Excellency's developmental strife. So let me give you an instance. The money that come from strife for 1 month, as a month I can remember very well, we had about 2.3 billion. And what is deducted as source was 1.8 billion. So we're left with 500 million. So how can 500 million even pay salary? So we have to revert back to our IGR. And of course, we have a situation that even the people, their morals are low. But thankfully, so you can see development happening everywhere around the state.
Yeah, because so I was thinking, where did they get money? Yeah.
Taxpayers' money. Taxpayers' money. Yes.
Yeah. Well, Gilbert.
Oh, really interesting. You touched on the next question I was going to ask you. You know, it's a difficult thing for people to pay tax. But I would like for you to tell our listeners some of the benefits of paying taxes and where they stand to gain when they do that in return. Of course, you began on that front. But just pick up from there and then shed more light.
Okay, so you see, the duty of paying tax is enshrined in our own constitution. So if you check chapter 2, section 24, I think F, item F there, says that a citizen's responsibility is to pay tax and to pay accurate tax and to declare his accurate income. Now, this is what the constitution says, aside other responsibility that you have. Now, first, you are responsible to the state. Then again, if you pay your taxes, then in a civilized client, like trying to, when Ponsard is trying to bring the background, you assess certain facilities. Now, Abuja has tried to do something now, which I think Plateau should also fall into it, that if you don't have a tax grant certificate, you should not assess certain services. Let me give you an instance. Like, if you don't have a tax grant certificate, you cannot bill somebody at the police stations.
Wow.
You understand? Yes, so these are some of the...
People who want to stand shorty.
Yes, that's how it's supposed to be, the white client. So that we now have people, like I was discussing with His Excellency, I said that if I were to advise going forward that every person that is going to be appointed as a government appointee should have a tax grant certificate. Not only those that are contesting that will run to the Internal Revenue Board and get a sharp tax grant certificate. Let it be a duty that you have to have.
I mean, I like that, you know, so much because, leadership by example.
Leadership by example.
Yeah.
So let's go forward. Now, you stand to even challenge the government if you pay your taxes accurately. That you can say, yes, you have paid this amount is this, and I expect you to do this. So let me tell you a story about a young man that called me one day. I said that he will want to pay his tax, but he want to assure me that his stays are refilled, and he want, if he pays, because he's paying about in stamp duty, no capital gain tax of about 3 million. He bought a property and he sold it, just he made gain there. So he said he wants the government to tar the road in front of his house because he's a responsible citizen. So and I told him that, yes, I agree with you, the government will do that. So I called the general manager of road maintenance and I told him that I have somebody who paid this huge amount. And he said that you need to tar his road. I remember the entire refill, there are no tars. This is only hybrid area in Nigeria that has no in Nigeria that have no hybrid area that without roads. So and I took him to the person's house. So when I was in front of the house, I called. I said, we are here with the road maintenance. They are trying to see how they are going to do this. Now I'm giving you an instance. I don't know him, and so people.
Oh, you don't have prior friendship or relationship whatsoever with him.
No, he only came to pay his capital gain tax. He said he wants to see the chairman.
Wow.
Yes.
That's I like that boldness.
Yes, he's bold. And now, because he's a responsible citizen, he is now telling you that, you do this for me.
Yeah.
And I think this government is a listening government. Not that I think. We are a listening government. And we fight with the person we have in the helm of affair. He's ready to support us 100%. And anybody that he's paying his legitimate tax, come and challenge us that you want it facility in your area, where I assure you are going to do it.
All right. Let's look at how government can curb multiple taxation. That's going to be a double-barreled question.
Okay.
Yes. Curbing multiple taxation, for example, federal government taxes you have local government councils and even non-state actors, you know, taxing people.
Yes.
For example, you go to the market, you park in, you have different people coming to say, look, pay this amount of money, pay that amount of money by virtue of you parking. How can government curb this? And of course, let's look at, again, earlier you were speaking and you said the tax rate or the tax amount you have recovered is close to 2 billion in 2 months. Am I correct?
Just December.
No, I said
just
December.
Okay, just December. Good. Yeah. And what are you projecting before we look at other questions?
Just so we don't intend to go down with the collection so far. We're expecting a exponential growth in the tax revenue. Because I envisage a revenue board that can make up to 5 billion in a month. But so this is the last question you asked. So let me go back to the first question about issue of multiple taxation. So, you know, there are jurisdictions in tax laws. And, you know, tax laws are based on acts and they're based on laws and they're sitting on three tripartites. We call it the law, the administration, and the policy. So these are the three tripartites that tax is sitting on. Now, the federal jurisdiction usually tax only the corporate entities, except for those citizens of Abuja and those ones that, in fact, even Abuja now we have his FCT in Abuja, then those on foreign missions or foreign affairs and whatever they are. So, but for the state, it's for individual. And that of the individual is principal place of residence that is being considered where you stay, except for internal worker that work one place and work the other place. So, but let me talk a little bit about this multiple taxation that you talk about. You see, let me give instance with road taxes. Now, road taxes is one of the most infiltrated multiple taxation system that we have in the country. So I give you instance. A truck load from Amadu Belewe or load from Ferengada Market going to Lagos. Let's say Irish potatoes, which we are all properly known for. And he moved, by the time he gets to, even from the state, he gets to Science School Kuru, they blocked him, mm-hmm. collect certain tax.
Sure.
And by the time he gets to, for instance, he gets to Akwanga, entering Nasarawa State, they blocked him, he pays certain tax. I met a lorry driver that told me if he's traveling to Lagos, he go with 500,000 and all will go in road tax. But I think that those days are gone. Now, why do I say they are gone? So the Joint Tax Board have initiated what we call a single sticker, whereby you know any truck will stop you if you have that single sticker. Then again, they do what we call haulage.
Even now, outside Plateau State?
Outside, everywhere, across the 36th. Oh. So now, in fact, Plateau State is the last people to key in. We just key in now. So now, then we have what we call haulage. Now, haulage talks about loading and offloading. Wherever you load and where you are going to offload the goods, you split the haulage. The highest for haulage fee is about 25,000 by the big truck then. Now, This is completely automated. This is now going to be handled, yes, of course, by different agencies. But the good part is that even if your state does not even collect it, if Lagos collect and the goods are dropping in Plateau, they will be split. So now we have not even keyed in 100%. We have started seeing the benefit that people load their trucks that are coming from Lagos, trucks that are coming from Yola, trucks that are coming from Yobe are splitted into our accounts. So this will cop issue of multiple taxation. So let's go back to the market.
Yeah.
Now, back to the market, you know, of course, this is a completely informal sector. Now, why do I say it's informal sector? There is no rules, there are no regulations, everybody just juggling inside and things like that. So we have issues that state revenue board will come, the local government will come. But the good news is that in 2020, the state law was ignited for concentrated revenue law was ignited that the state revenue board will collect on behalf of all the arm of government, that's both the 17 local government and the state, and there will be a split. So we're still in talking terms with the revenue directors of all the 17 local government, with the chairman, so that we'll see how we consolidate that these revenue are pulled into one place and split to different local government, so that we don't have an issue that local government will come today, state revenue board will come. Then again, even the federal will come to the informal sector and telling you that they are collecting VAT on certain goods and things like that. So these are some of the things that we are working on, and I believe that very soon, issue of multiple taxation will be over.
Yeah, just shed some light on innovation, going about these things. I know some of the things you have said are innovative ways to have people pay taxes, but creatively, again, some other revenue-generating channels that you're creating, and then also help us to look at the issue of what was the next question I was going to ask you. Okay, that skipped me, but just address that.
Okay, so you're talking about innovations that we brought on board.
Yes. Yeah.
All right, so you see, the thing is, like, I care to tell anybody who wants to listen that data is the new oil. So once you have data, then you can tax people properly. So what we have before now, you know, of course, they tell you that under self-assessment, you assess yourself and submit to the tax authority. The tax authority will only look at what you give them and try to make meaning out of it. Those days are over. You have to collect data about individuals. So let me give you start, get back to you. I want to tax you. I need to go into your financials and know how much you actually earn as a turnover. Whether you earn it from employment or any from any kind of other side of income, then I will tax you properly. So what we're trying to do now, like I'm talking to you now, two of our staff are heading to Abuja for a meeting with NCC. So what are we trying to do with NCC? We have a lot of masks across the state. Now, on those masks, we need to know the entire coordinates. Of course, sometimes they will tell you that there is a security issue that you need to go through the office of NSA. But then we need to have data so that we can even actually tax MTN properly. We need to have data so that we can actually tax Globalcom properly. So we are collecting data to tax people properly. People are, in fact, as far as I'm concerned, people are under tax. Do you know the people that properly tax are the people that are working in the formal sector, like the government, like the private sector, like here, that you deduct at source. Those are the people that are properly taxed.
So in other words, you're looking at expanding the tax net.
We have already started expanding it already.
And this will lead me to this two final questions that I'll ask before we open the phone lines. What are the efforts being made on your part as the executive chairman to collaborate with state MDAs, local government councils, federal agencies, etc., towards effective revenue generation?
Okay, thank you very much. Now, you see, the first thing is that we have to depend on certain individual, or sorry, certain authorities or certain government settings to gain information. So let me give you an instance. I want to know the entire citizens of Plateau State that are above 18.
Mm.
So I have to contact National Identity Card Management Board so that they should give us information of, though it's a bio data,
yeah,
dead data for a taxman.
Yeah.
So, but it gives me information of taxable individuals. Then again, how will I now link in their income, or rather their biodata, with what they earned?
Yeah.
So the first thing is that we know how many people that are taxable. Then we tell you that, okay, we are now collaborating with the schools, that if somebody wants to pay even tuition or JAM, you know, JAM now you have to have NIM. So we are now introducing you have to have 18.
Yeah.
So now, so from that time, you know, most of them will be turning 18. So now we are beginning to bring them to the tax net. So we are expanding people that are supposed to be in the tax net. So certain facilities, very soon we'll write to all the banks that every person that have a bank account in Plateau must tie it to his team. So Abuja have done that, and people are busy shouting. But then they will shout, but we have to do the right thing,
yeah,
by law. And like I said, so these are some of the innovations we are bringing.
And TIN is a tax identification number. I have one, so I'm a good person. I'm a good citizen.
Not by having the TIN number.
Taxpayer identification.
Yeah, I'm a taxpayer.
No, it's not by having it. Okay. I need to check whether you've been paying something.
Yeah, I've been paying. At least I've done my... never mind. Well, let's open the poll eyes. No, but well, I try as much as possible. You know, to do some of the, especially when it comes to car, make sure that, you know, all of the papers are intact.
Right?
Yeah, are intact, and the government, you know, gets. Because, I mean, it's going to be hypocritical if we talk about, mm-hmm, and we know about these things, yeah, and we don't
walk
do
the
them.
Talk.
Yeah, yeah, we have to walk the talk.
So, but let me tell you something about the cars.
Yeah.
Now, based on the data I collected, now Plateau State is the least in the 33 states that have people paying taxes in terms of their particulars.
Wow.
You know, particular has nothing to do whether you are rich in the state or you're poor.
Yeah.
It has to do with the number of the cars in the state.
Yeah.
Right? So now Plateau have quite a number of cars registered with us. Some are not registered with us. Some are registered elsewhere, but they ply our road, but people don't pay. So I had to engage sometimes when I'm driving by the road, I see the VIO or the rest safety blocking people. I tell them the aim is defeated, that you stop someone on the road, you make him to go to the office to go and renew his particulars. You collect something and he goes. Aim is defeated. Then don't block the road. Let everybody leave.
Yeah.
And let's leave.
Yeah.
But then, so you see, there's a collaboration that we have to do across board. Either the police, the VIO, the road safety, that we're not forcing people. But you see, it's a civil responsibility.
Responsibility.
You must be first responsible to yourself, then responsible to the state. So we expect that people be that civil and do that. So Plateau are very low in terms of vehicle renewal and particulars.
Yeah.
In fact, quite a number of cars are driving on our road without even numbers.
Papers. Well, you can join the conversation 081-218-77777. We've been having a chat with the Executive Chairman, Plateau State Internal Revenue Service, Mr. Jim Pam Wires, and very extensive conversation. I think that some of the things that he has said should really touch you as a person, as a citizen, you know, of this great society, and encourage you, motivate you to keep up to your civic responsibility of paying your tax as at when due. 081-218-77777 or you call 090-55-66-6699.
On Facebook, yeah, JFM Live is where to drop your comments. On X, we are JFM Just There. So
yeah, maybe you start taking some Facebook comments.
Okay, on Facebook. Suleiman Jibril says, please, my advice to the governor is that he should do something about this killing of innocent people that's going on in his local government. And Julius Achigak says, once citizens don't trust the government in terms of tax, then we will have low income from taxes to the government. But the government is not trying to give the citizens genuine reason to pay their taxes. because no good development at all. Jimmy Pamjari says, I heard your guest talking good about sports development. Please, what happened to the ongoing Governor's Cup that stopped after the group stage for over a month now? Okay, that's the previous segment of the show. Izanka C says, this administration is trying a lot, but these killings are going to bring destruction. I pray that the people's governor will not lose focus. David Mark Sambo says, the paying of taxes are not the problem, but when taxes are being utilized well by providing critical infrastructure, citizens will not hesitate to pay their taxes. And the killing of people in Mangu is highly condemnable. Absin Manasseh says, citizens don't want to pay tax to government because there is no awareness where the money, as to where the money is being spent. So I think government should create awareness on citizens about tax. John Paul Jacob says, what motivates citizens to be paying taxes is the level of development being carried out by those in the corridors of power. Once there is absence of development, people see it as a waste of resources and time to pay taxes. Albert Dagza says, truth be told, there is a trust deficit between the people and the government, especially the government that breaches its contract entered into to provide the security of lives and property and provision of social amenities. Zagaboy Esti says, one of the key factors that fertilizes the society peacefully is the payment of taxes. Please let's try and pay our taxes. Then, by the situation, all right, thank you. And let me take this before Ponsak attempts to take some calls. Richard Egbita says, the issue of tax payment is a sensitive matter for both the government and the citizens. And it's expected that government should create and build the trust for successful administration and development.
Yeah. Well, let's take the first call. Hello. Good evening. Thank you for calling.
Yes, I give it to you, Pansa Fanat. You happen to be one of the admirable journalists I love to listen to. It's Desmond calling from Brighton Lady.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for your good word. Go ahead. Tell us your name.
Yes. It's Desmond calling from Brighton Lady. I respect the technocratic individual. Honestly, you see, our governor know who to appoint as a commissioner and as his appointee. So I give it to him. If you see, look at how he's analyzing the thing. You understand? It has already been programmed. You understand? So I give it to him. Shout out to him, honestly. And I also want to consult with the plateau people concerning what is happening. Like yesterday, around after 9, in Kwarasla Lake community, behind NYNC camp, upon the conflict that is in Mangu, I tell you, the attack community called Kwarasla Lake A1. So the houses were burning that yesterday night. Honestly, you see, but if you put coffee, where are the securities? Where these people would shout, we don't win. So they go burn women and children inside their room. Imagine this kind of sad things. Honestly, it's unfair. Please, I'm picking the government. Please,
thank you.
I know that Mofang is doing his best. So I pray that Tinubu will listen to our cry so that we can able to fight out these wicked people. Please, God bless you.
Thank you. Well, this is a much call we'll take. Please go ahead, sir, Jim, and give your response to the comment you've heard and your final word.
Okay, so I agree with
you. And you have to encourage plateau people to pay their tax. I don't know what you're going to tell them.
All right, so I think quite a number of the comments are coming from Facebook are talking about trust deficit, are talking about we don't trust the government. But I want to assure you on one thing. This is a government that is willing to do the right thing, to undo the wrongs. And why do I say we're trying to do or we're trying to undo the wrongs? That no money will be wasted. Now, I have a governor that his life is not only a mentor, that he's also my spiritual father in the sense that we'll go to Abuja with him and he'll tell you that, no, I don't need to stay in Transcorp, that's taxpayers' money. He stayed in his friend's house or he stayed in the governor's lodge. Yes, he had never slept in Transcorp since he became governor.
Wow.
Except maybe the governor forum or any meeting that they will host him there. But he had never. And he had never eaten in the 5-star hotel. In fact, most times we go to the Buka and go and eat food. Or he said, buy the food from this place and we eat. I remember there was a time we had to drive to a garden in Abuja in the city. There's a governor with convoy and some senators and House of Rep members then. And we sat in the garden and eat food. This is the kind of governor you have.
Wow.
He's very, what do you call it now? He's very
prudent.
Prudent.
I think spending, that is a word.
And even if we take, you pay him and he come back, he will retire the money. This is the kind of government we have. So that's this willingness to do the right thing and to undo the wrongs. So there are a lot of ruts that we made. But then we won't want to stay or waste our time talking about what happened in the past. Let's draw a line and have a new path. So you can trust us because you can see us working. Now, in fact, one of my friends was telling me before the program, he said that we ought to start putting signboards at every road that we call so that this is taxpayers' money, so that taxpayers will see. Again, I think quite a number of places have not even experienced water bottle pumping, but they're beginning to become consistent now. Now, funny enough, so many funny things have happened in the past. Even the government house, there is a deficit of light bill. There was no light even in the government house.
Yeah.
Even water board have, the light was cut off for so many months without light and things like that. So we're trying to even get our footings back. Yes, the court cases was huge on us as a government. But then we are trying to move forward now. Everything is over. We don't have excuse. So our excuse now is we just have to do the job. And people should trust us for what you... And one of the things we agreed that we're going to be doing now going forward is that we come out with a program, I call it CAR, Citizens Accountability Report. We come out every quarter and tell that this is what we got and this is what we have done with it. So we must be accountable to the taxpayers. So we want to encourage people, and you know, like our motto said, pay your tax to develop plateau. If you pay your tax, plateau will be developed. If you don't pay your tax, then we'll be in the shambles as you were.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Dear listener, if you want the government to continue doing good, it's up to you to pay your tax. It's your responsibility. And then the government will be obligated to you to provide you services. Thank you so much for the great work you're doing for Plateau. I pray that God will give you more wisdom, courage to stand by the truth and to do the right thing at all times. Mr. Jim Wires.
Thank you. Thank you, Ponsat. Thank you, Gilbert. Thank you, Plato, for having me.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure.
Well, the news will come your way top of the hour, 6 o'clock. Have a good evening. Bye now.
Thank you for listening to JFM Podcast.